Blog Talk Radio.
So I guess the question of the day would be, what's going to happen in the NFL? Will Popovich get fined again just for the sake of being Popovich? Or how long can we keep Jose from not swearing? These are major decisions.
Oh, yeah!
All right, Real Sports Talk Radio, live on the air through Pack Sports Page and Blog Talk Radio. I'm not Jose Padilla, that's you. Randy Zelli along with Jose Padilla, 760-283-0846. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/PackSportsPage and /Real Sports Talk Radio, as well on Twitter at AngryJose15, at RZelliaBSP. And Jose, good morning, my friend. We are up bright and early today.
Yep, as always. Like, back to normal times, I guess.
Yes, that, you know, not for nothing. We can actually do, like, the pick six when it means, like, doing the pick six. That'll be later in the show. A lot to get to today, not a lot of time. Real quick, wanted to go over a couple quick things with you before we start jumping into our major topics for today. It's funny, you just said before, you're like, you made a comment about, you know, swearing on the radio and what can you say, what can't you say. It's internet radio, so I'm not going to sit here and encourage you to sit there and be perfect, you know, perfect language and everything else like that. I understand that you are who you are. You're an angry person, so there might be some vulgarity coming out of your mouth at some point or another. And I kind of cleaned that up and said vulgarity. but with that being said, don't hold back on my part. If you're going to make a point, make the point.
I appreciate that. Second of all, you will never be me. Just remember that. Always and for sure.
Because
if you try to be me, you will
explode. I want to go on record and say, thank God for that.
Yeah.
I'm just not being honest.
Thank God that you're not me. Being me is the extraordinary status of being cool. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, you're a trendsetter. Anyways, moving forward. Wanted to just make, like, I'm trying to be nice and make a point to you, and you're, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm trying to give you a compliment, I'm trying to give you a little bit of free rein, and you just take it and abuse it to no end. So that'll be the last compliment you get for the end of 2012. 2013, I'll check back on you.
And this is why you fail.
And this is why, I'm trying to be a good guy. You know, you try to be that guy and try to help out and do the right thing, and all of a sudden you just stomp on my, you ruin my soul. You hurt my soul. That's what pretty much what you are the soul keeper. That's your new name. You're the soul breaker. You are the soul breaker. That's your new nickname.
If I win, you know what, if I win the pick six bet, can I just take your soul? I'll keep it in the naming, sir.
I was about to say, it's already in a can in your refrigerator, my soul. My soul is like, my soul was given to you on show number one with Mike James. That was like when it was over. It's been downhill since. So there's a lot going on. And, you know, you and I were kicking around on, like, I think if we would have went with the show we were planning on going on Wednesday with, it almost looks outdated now from what our original game plan was. So much has happened since Wednesday. So where to start, and I think there's only really one place we could start, and that's the tragedy that happened in Kansas City yesterday. I'm not even talking about the actual, you know, there's so much that goes on with what happened, the underlying stories, that we almost forget that there's, you know, we're so focused on the football player that killed himself. We're forgetting that there was a young lady that was killed too, and then his 22-year-old girlfriend, Javon Belcher's 22-year-old, you know, Cassandra M. Perkins was murdered, and you know it's a tragedy. And Jose, it's like almost like you don't know where to start with this, because which aspect do you look at it first? Do you look at the two lives that were lost in this situation, or do you look at it, you know, from a football perspective, which is usually the last perspective you look at? Which perspective do you look at it first?
Well, I think any normal person would tell you, you have to take a look at the lives, you know. It's, football is the last thing you have to worry about in this situation. It does come into play at some point because, as we know, sports is no longer sports in the sense of entertainment. It is a business, and it's a multi-billion-dollar business. So it will come into play at some point, but the majority of time that has to be spent on this has to be on the people that lost their lives, both Javon Belcher and Kendrick Perkins, and the little baby that they had that now will be parentless for the rest of their lives. And, you know, you hope that there are other family members that will step in and, you know, be, you know, role models for that child and hopefully can help them get through their life, you know, with this. But it was such a horrible thing. And when I found out about it, I was actually watching, you know, something on ESPN with my wife, and I just happened to see the scroll at the bottom that a Chief player had taken their life. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, like, who, you know, it was just insane. And like the whole rest of the day, it was just, you know, finding out bits and pieces what was going on. Then you find out the guy was from Long Island, so it kind of had a local flair to it and all. So it's just really a sad, sad situation all in all.
Well, here's basically some more news that came out of it, some more detail. Belichick thanks General Manager Scott Billy and Coach Romeo Cannell before shooting himself in the parking lot of the team practice facility. Police spokesman Darren Stamp said, police had locked it down by mid-morning and reporters were confined to the street just outside the gates. Obviously, again, this is such a tragedy. For the fact that Romeo Cannell and Scott Billy had to be there, like they were talking with him, and as soon as they turned around and walked away about 20 steps, just, you know, Javon took his own life. And, you know, from a different perspective of it, you know, you're Romeo Cannell, you went from, you know, this pretty much, again, you're taking the football aspect out of it. I thought Cornell was probably pretty much going to lose his job at the end of this year. That's my take from the whole thing, from that aspect of it. But now, you know, he has to be the voice of reason for his team. You know, Javon had lots of friends and lots of teammates in that locker room, and, you know, and the NFL team is like a family. You know, I was with the New York Giants on Monday, and Chase Blackburn and Michael Poley and Kiminuka all said the same thing to me. They said, the team is like a family. These are the guys who you're in. You know, it's like being in a foxhole. These are the guys you're in a foxhole with. You know, how did the players react today? You know, how do you, you know, these, you know, people are remembering him as a player and the person he was, but they seem to be forgetting that he killed his girlfriend, too, before that aspect of it. You know, like that's the part of it where I'm a little wish-washy. What do you think?
Well, I'll say this. You know, I believe no one really is necessarily forgetting her. I think it's just kind of just put towards the back burner because I'm sure when we're watching these things, we're watching it from ESPN or, you know, whatever sports network you might check it on. So the more detailed portion of it will be on the sports side of it. I'm sure if you were watching it on Channel 7 or Channel 2, whatever your local affiliate is, you probably get more of that side of it. So I think it just really depends where you were listening to the information from, where you were getting it from for that, you know. So I think when I was watching it on the news last night, quite a little bit of it, it was more towards, you know, her and, you know, the child and all that. So I really do think it's just where you're getting your information from, which determines how it gets spinned. But there is another aspect of this that I wanted to bring up to you. When we were waiting yesterday to find out who it was that had done this, you know, there was no official name given out or anything like that. And about a good, like, maybe hour or two before there was an official statement from the police, Peter King on Twitter had broken the name. And my question to you is, do you think that was right of him to do that, to just break out this information before it was known that the families were alerted?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I am a very, 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 very big proponent of giving the facts. I'd rather wait until the facts are accurate before you pass them out to the media. And I know we live in a society where if you want to break the story first, this was wrong on Peter King's part. Peter King should have waited until the team released a full official statement as far as the name and the situation. Obviously, again, if you remember back in 2007 when we had the Chris Benoit double murder-suicide, we were busy honoring him for hours and hours before we got the truth. But what happened? And once the truth came out, we would, all of a sudden were like, ooh, okay, we shouldn't have been praising this man as much as we have been. I'm always a big proponent of wait until we have all the facts. When we have all the facts, then we can start, you know, going, which side are you on? Which side of this argument can you... So then you have a lot of people contradicting themselves because those same people who are sitting there praising him are the ones sitting there saying, you know, he was such a, this is such a terrible, heinous act and this and that. I really do feel that Peter King in this situation was in the wrong. And I usually defend media members, but not in this situation. I think Peter King was absolutely wrong.
Yeah. We should also take a shot at Fox Sports for also breaking this off on the internet site as well. They I believe Alex Mazzi was reporting the name as well before there was any official. And I agree with you. Listen, I know everyone's trying to get a job and they're trying to get the big scoop on everyone, but we have to respect, you know, families, you know, that they're informed first. They shouldn't have to find out on the computer. They shouldn't have to find out on Twitter if they happen to be on Twitter. That's not right. And part of me, like, I'll be the first one to tell you, I was searching like crazy to find out who it was. You know, obviously, and I went to Twitter thinking that some jerk would actually put it up there, and lo and behold, someone did. So I'm not going to say I'm completely innocent in this. I was curious as well, but even if I had found out, I would have never went out of my way to spread it. I was actually, for like a brief second of time, I actually kind of went off my body thinking about, should I put this on our Facebook site? And thankfully, like, I cleared that up right away thinking, no, you know what, there's been no official statement, so I am not going to add to this perversion. But, you know, we all have fault for certain things. You know, I'm just glad that, you know, I didn't go off the deep end and do something that I know I would have regretted later on.
All in all, I think the final word on this, you know, on this, I don't know if it's the final word on this topic. I think there is a little bit more different layers to the story we have to hit on. You know, turning from a football perspective of it now. You know, what about the on the field? What about the guys who are in that locker room? Are they able to really go out there and really focus on football at this point?
I think this would be, they will either play the best game they've ever played in their life today, or it will be the worst game they've ever played. There will be no in between. I can tell you from speaking of, like, as someone who has been in the locker room, who has had to deal with something very similar to this, I can tell you right now, you either get the best of that person that day, or you will get the worst of that person. There is no in between.
There was a statement by Belcher's agent. He was the last person in the world you would expect completely out of character for the guy I know. I don't have a lot of individual contact with him, but this is so out of character for him, completely out of character. He was a charitable, polite, articulate, and something went crazy wrong. Okay, first off, I have a problem with the statement, and I want to hear your opinion after you hear what I got to say. When you say I didn't have a lot of individual contact with him, but this was so out of character for him. Now, what I got from that comment was he didn't really talk to his client a lot. I know, I don't know if it just meant about what was going on or if it just meant in general. But it doesn't sound like he was in a lot of communication with his talent, with his client.
It definitely, that's how it could definitely be perceived. The general statement I get from everyone, you know, that this was a guy that you would never expect this from. Like, he was a class act, and this guy that came from a small college, you know, didn't even get drafted and worked his way up to become, you know, kind of a, you know, unsung leader of that team. Listen, I've said this to many people. I probably even said this to you, like, in just our regular conversations. You never know what someone is capable of doing until they get put in a situation. And, you know, you never expect anyone to do anything, you know, harsh, you know, horrible, something like this. You know, there's no way you can tell me, oh, that guy can do it, that woman can do it. You can't tell. I mean, there are some instances where you can definitely see there are trouble spots, but I don't think anyone in their heart of hearts would ever tell you that they know that this person is going to be a malicious person, you know. So they probably would never have expected it from someone like this, especially someone who has seemed to really go out of their way to make something of themselves. Someone who apparently was also was a major in child psychology, I believe. So that makes it even more shocking. This is someone who worked with children and was very into doing stuff trying to better kids as well. So it's ironic that he did something that would actually put the welfare of a child in danger, and it makes it more shocking is that it's his own child. So there's just so much with this. I mean, we're not going to be able to get to it all today, but this is just a tragic situation, and it hits at every corner.
Okay, one other point we have to go with this now. I think in general, I think the stat was they've had 15 suicides from NFL related retired since 2010. I think that was the number.
Yeah, you're right. It was 15. I think it was 7 since like 2007. So
I think that at this point now, I think that this is why Roger Goodell wants to clean up the sport. They want to, because with the blows to the head and these things that are going on, I think that now they really have to start doing these brain tests on these guys, probably from the age of 25, 26 on. You know, every couple of years do these types of tests. I know it sounds absolutely ridiculous to say something like that, but I really do think it's true. I think they need to really do examinations on people to make sure things like this don't happen. You know, all of a sudden something goes haywire. You know, someone had said that Junior Seau was fine 2 days before before he committed suicide. Junior Seau.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You know,
I would say this too, though, Randy. If for this to work, for this to actually happen, and I agree with you, it should. This is now something that they really need to look at. You know, and I'm just going to throw out some names here. You need to have people like Mike Golick and the Chris Carters and, you know, people of that ilk who will tell you that, you know, this is that Roger Goodell gets way out of hand with trying to do these, you know, these safety issues, because they are now, you know, these things are happening because of this. You know, I've always said, and it's a known fact, you got to be a little off kilter to play football to begin with. You know, it's not for everyone, and you've got to be a little off in the head to play it. So we need to have these guys stop, like, bemoaning every little thing that Roger Goodell does. I mean, because this is something that could absolutely have been, you know, caused by someone who may have not, you know, really not been right in the head, you know, because of injuries, you know, taking shots that we're not even aware of. So I totally agree with you. But I would just say, you know, these guys at ESPN and any other sport network that does these shows that have the guys that say, hey, you know what, this is ridiculous. Why is Roger Goodell policing the sport? You know why he's policing the sport? Because look what happened yesterday. And
yeah, I agree with you.
It may not be the direct cause, but it could definitely have some sort of impact on it.
Well, I agree with you 110%. And you know, obviously we can go over player reaction and really dissect this story if we really, really, really feel like we need to. But I don't think we need to. I think that's pretty much all that really has to be said about this. The only thing else I'm going to add on this is we have to somehow remember that these athletes are people too. You know, we sometimes get on these athletes for not giving their all. I hate to quote the movie Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg, but do you remember at one point they're like, you know, John Sally looks at Whoopi Goldberg and says, you know, you have to remember these guys are just not superhuman athletes. They're people too, and they all have problems going on outside too that might affect their work. We sometimes forget that, and I think that should not be. That should not be overlooked when we look at this whole murder-suicide. I don't think anyone is really praising him in this situation. Because remember, he did take his girlfriend's life. And he was so distraught after doing it. He probably got, you know, it looks like it was like a blind rage type of thing. And then afterwards, he was just like, oh my God. And then took his own life. So we have to put everything in perspective that these athletes are also human. And they have real life situations going on. And they're not superhuman and being able to just endure all the pain that normal people have to go through with issues and the domestic issues at home and personal issues and money issues. You know, all those types of different things happen in these pro athletes' lives. So,
oh yeah.
So I think that's very important. I think it's a very important key that we all seem to forget.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. There's really nothing more I could add to that.
And the only thing we have to do now is actually audio records you saying, Randy, you are absolutely right. Because we don't really hear that much.
Now the show has gone down.
And we've just taken a very serious poignant moment where Jose and I actually, but right now there's a therapist sitting there saying, you know what, I think they just had a moment. I think they just had a moment. I think we're finally healing, and we just took that moment. We just destroyed it. And I'm proud of that moment. I'm just proud of the moment we just destroyed. Because I actually liked hearing you actually say, you know, Randy, you were right. And I was going to say, you know what, Jose? Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
Joy, last time.
You know what I'm and sorry, we're going to get into the Popovich stuff in about a minute. And so we're going to be like, oh, okay, you know, you're absolutely wrong. Really quick, while we're in the NFL, we're not going to do the picks yet, but let's real quickly hit all the other quick news stories around the NFL, you know, that football league place that they go to. Yeah, okay, good. It's hard to transition to go back on the field, but we're going to give it a shot anyway. The Vikings rule, Percy Harvin out today. Anything?
It sucks for me because he's on my fantasy team, so it just sucks. You know, that's probably the major reason why the Vikings have fallen on hard times now. You know, what else can you say? He was an MVP candidate.
It's funny you just said that, too, because the best part of what you just said, I kept thinking of our good friend Dave Barry over at ProFootballMock.com with his Facebook comments, you know, the Facebook quarterback. Yeah, the mocking thing he always seems to do every single week, which is absolutely hysterical. I do highly recommend if you are listening to the show, go to ProFootballMock.com and read the quarterbacks on Facebook. It's the funniest thing. It's the funniest part of my week. And he put down Christian Ponder. He goes, hey, guys. And all of a sudden, they're like, who the hell are you? I'm the starting quarterback from the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, I thought they just hiked their Adrian Peterson every back. I saw that, and I'll pull it up just so you guys can get the exact quote. But just a total mocking of Christian Ponder was hysterical. Okay, Kenny Phillips doubtful versus the Redskins tomorrow night. Is this really a conversation?
It's gonna hurt a little bit. I'd rather have him for the Saints game though, if that's possible, than for the Washington game. But it's still gonna be a big. It's gonna be a big issue.
Ben Roethlisberger out against the Ravens today. Is this a big loss?
This will be a big loss for the Steelers, no doubt. I mean, look, they had 8 turnovers last week, and they only lost the game by 6, but they had 8 turnovers. That's a big problem. If they had 8 turnovers against Cleveland, what are they going to do against Baltimore?
I agree. Detroit Lions, the coordinator's back, Monica Sue, about the Thanksgiving Day shot to Matt Schaub. I don't think this is really a big deal anymore. We know every Thanksgiving Sue's going to get fined, so let's just move on.
You know what? That whole thing was overblown. If you're telling me that he actually kicked Chubb on purpose in the gonads, I'm sorry. I mean, he's not that talented.
Yeah, no, seriously. Rex Ryan, you know, I feel like it's like the circus is coming to town every single day with Rex Ryan and the New York Jets. Rex Ryan says no decision has been made on Tebow's status as yet. What else is there? We've been saying this for we're in what week now? Tim Tebow's status. Are we still talking about this? Like, really? Tim Tebow hasn't seen the field this season. I think he had more time on the playing quarterback on the practice field his rookie season in Denver than he's done with the Jets this whole entire year. So. I don't want to hear any more Tebow updates unless he's actually going to play a game. And what's going to happen? They're going to lose today against Arizona. And Sanchez is going to break his arm. And they're probably going to, like, resign Chad Pennington to come in. And Tebow's going to have to back up Chad Pennington.
Wow.
That's what Mike gets out.
You know what? Again, and we spoke a little bit on this last week. It's become quite apparent that Rex Ryan wanted nothing to do with Tebow. And they brought him in because this was an ownership decision, and now they're suffering for it. Here's the other factor that no one brings up all that much, though, Randy, and I think it's a fair point. What if they were to bring him in? Let's just say they say, you know what, the season's over. To hell with it. Let's start Tebow. Let's do exactly what Denver did last year, but hopefully he'll fall on his face. And they won all the games he started in. Wouldn't that just make the Jets look just really moronic if he won all the games to end the season, because they could have done this so much earlier in the season?
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I expect that to happen. I'm not lying. I expect it to happen. I'm telling you right now, I expect Tebow to be the starting quarterback the last couple games of the season, and then I expect him to come in, and I expect the team to go on like if let's say they start the last three games of the year, I expect them to go on a three-game winning streak, and then even more chaos will ensue during the offseason. And you know what would be worse for them? It would be worse for the New York Jets, worse for Tim Tebow, worse for Rex Ryan if the Giants win a second Super Bowl.
Oh, well.
You're sitting there before the season even starts, and you're sitting there saying we're going to be a better team than the New York Giants, which we all knew was garbage in the first place. You can't make they're not going to be stupid debauchery comments like that and expect me to be like, really? Like, you know, come on, let's be real. With that being said, to put a bow on the whole Tim Tebow situation here, I'm in full belief that Rex Ryan deserves to lose his job. No matter what is going on with the Tim Tebow situation, Mike Tannenbaum deserves to lose their jobs because everything that's happened on the field this year really doesn't have anything to do with Tim Tebow. So,
this is true, but you don't feel that he should be given the benefit of the doubt for losing Revis and Santonio Holmes this year?
No, because injuries are part of the game, and you're supposed to still have a talented team without those guys around.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay. Notable inactives for today, just reported by SportsCenter. Danny Amendola, Titus Young, Tim Tebow, Devin Hester, Percy Harvin. And there's more. I'm just waiting for this to load. We knew about Percy Harvin. We knew. Tim Tebow being. Okay, here's the full list. Ruled out before Sunday. Rob Gronkowski, Percy Harvin, Devin Hester, Chandler Jones, Maurice Jones-Drew out. All those fantasy people must be crying. Jonathan Joseph, Brian Lefkowitz is out, Clay Matthews out, Colin McCarthy out, LeSean McCoy out, Ben Roethlisberger out, Eddie Royal out, Muhammad Sanu out, Jonathan Stewart out, quarterback Michael Vick out, and Charles Woodson officially out. Top players, early games doubtful, Aaron Hernandez, Brandon Lloyd, Sidney Rice, Andre Roberts, Wes Walker, BeanieWells, late games, Darren McFadden, Brandon Stokely, Miles Austin, Felix Jones, and DeMarco Murray. The last couple guys were questionable.
I think we heard earlier on Fantasy Football Live that DeMarco Murray was going to play. He's being listed as questionable, but would be in certain packages.
I'm more impressed they're even listing Tim Tebow as like a person that's even worth mentioning whether he's going to be active or not.
You know, again, I love Tim Tebow as a person. I think he's been given a bad hand his whole NFL life. He needs to go on a team that's going to use him. And if he's going to fail, then fail that way. But, you know, all the guy has ever done is win, and he just gets kicked around because you don't have a coach that knows how to use him properly. I feel bad for the guy because I think he gets used for I think the teams take advantage of him. I think they do. But let's not get into it anymore. It's everything that we can say about Tebow's been said. I just think the guy gets dealt a bad hand. I think he gets taken advantage of.
Okay, you're entitled to your opinion. I think with him, it's about, I don't want to say it's about ego, but I think it's about more of the, I think more it's the aura. Listen, it's not for nothing. The guy goes out and wins all the time.
It's not that he wins all the time, but it's just that the guy, he's just the kind of guy you want to follow. This is the kind of guy we should, like, tell people, like, this is the way you want to be. There doesn't seem to be a disingenuous bone in his body. Again, though, if we go that route, you never know what anyone is capable of, so I don't want to completely gush over him. But I'm just saying, to me, I've always felt that he's just been taken advantage of because of the following he has, and I think we should just leave it at that.
Blog Talk Radio, you're on the air with Jose and Randy.
Would that be me?
That would be you.
Yeah. What about Tim Tebow?
Okay, who is this? Who are we speaking with?
Gary Adler with the Pro Players Association, of course.
Hello, Gary Adler. Jose, this is our good friend from Denver, Colorado, Mr. Gary Adler.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
How you doing, Jose?
Not bad.
So, Randy, you think Tim Tebow's the answer, huh?
Okay, first off, Tim, I don't know if Tim Tebow's the answer. You being out in Colorado were witnessing firsthand of the Tim Tebow experience from last season. I ask you, what did you see from him last year that brought the Broncos back from the 1-4 start to the playoffs?
Well, I can tell you it wasn't a it wasn't a Jesus Christ thing, but just a little bit of good luck. I wouldn't count on him taking the Jets to the Super Bowl. I think being a receiver or running back might be a good place for him. Or sitting on the bench. I don't think he's the answer to the problems for Rex Ryan.
No, like I just said before, I think the situation why I feel Tannenbaum and Rex Ryan should be let go is not because of Tim Tebow or that situation. It's because the team just underachieved this year. And I don't care about Revis, and I don't care about Santonio Holmes. You still have, injuries happen to every team, and there's years where, when the Giants won the Super Bowl back in 2008, they lost Jeremy Shockey, and they lost other players that were key to their success, and they still won a Super Bowl. So I don't want to hear about the Revis Santonio Holmes argument. I don't know, Jose, if you want to argue with me on that, please feel free, but I can't listen to that argument.
The logic
it definitely is sound.
I mean, but it's one thing to lose someone like Shockey when you're making that comparison. It's another thing when you lose possibly the best defensive player in the league, and at worst, if you want to give him that, the best corner in the NFL.
Well, I threatened a few friends in New England that Tebow's going to be traded up there.
I tell you something. If Tebow ends up in New England, I'm telling you right now, Tim Tebow's going to be the newest superstar in the NFL because Bill Belichick will find something for him to make him absolutely amazing. And that's the truth. That's what Bill Belichick has found a way to get the best out of all of his players with the exception of Chad Ocharchenko. That was it.
They'll put him in charge. Randy, they're going to put him in charge of the witch hunts up there.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, okay. I don't know about that, but that's certainly going a little too far. But I'll be honest with you, too. I think with Belichick, I know this is almost like a switch over topic, but the guys that Bill Belichick coaches, he finds a way to get the best out of them. Like I said, with the exception of Chad Ochocinco, and I also think that Albert Haynes just was not a good fit there for him. I do believe that a guy like Tim Tebow, just like Danny Woodhead was a solid maybe third or fourth back on any other team, and he is a key contributor to the Patriots. I think it's an example of the type of schemes that Belichick can come up with of making the best of the little talent he has. He likes to keep the salaries down. He doesn't like to go out and grab sexy names. He likes going out and making sexy names. After Deion Branch left the Patriots to go to Seattle, we didn't hear from Deion Branch until he came back to the Patriots. So I think that's a very fair argument that I just brought up. Jose or Gary, if you want to go at me with that, I just think it's really the truth. Belichick makes the best of what he has.
Well, I think they should stick with it. I'm busting people about sending them up there just for the fact of busting people. But personally, and I think, Randy, you've seen some of my one-on-one with Tim Tebow on my pro player site over the years as he was here. He's not one of my favorite people in the world. Personally, I think he should retire from football and lead a good religious sect. But that aside from it, the guy I don't think is ready to play, just because he had a few lucky games there. You forget about the rest of the team that participated in those games. It was not all Tim Tebow. If he didn't have the help on the field that he had, he wouldn't have had the three successful games. The guy is a good leader. I think he should lead something else rather than football. That's my personal opinion.
To be fair, though, that team was 1-4 before he took over. I mean, so we have to give him credit for that. I mean, that team was horrible before they put in Tim Tebow. And let's be honest, they only put him in to shut up the fans because they thought he was going to fail miserably. And that team went on to win a division title.
But it wasn't all Tim Tebow.
So I know it wasn't all Tim Tebow, but
kinda woke up and
was the excuse when he wasn't there?
I'm sorry, couldn't hear you.
I understand it wasn't all Tim Tebow, but that team, again, was 1-4 before he took over the starting role. So what's the variable there then? The defense was horrible before he got in there.
Well, a few players couldn't hurt him. they decided to get off their butt kiss and do a few things there before the end of the season because they knew they were going to lose a considerable amount of the fan base if they didn't do something well, because it was high time and they knew it was a time for conversion. However, I did have a radio show also, as Randy knows, Sports and Perspective, in which I called upon this long before, that Tebow wouldn't last at the Broncos, and people laughed at me. In fact, I said Manning was coming, and nobody believed me. Guess what?
Well, what was the general reaction out in Colorado for Tebow? Was he, like, beloved, or were people sort of, like, onto it, like, this doesn't look like it's really going to be something that's going to last, just a quick fix?
Well, no, you know, there's a pretty heavy-duty Christian right representation here, especially around the Colorado Springs area. And his representation of what he presented was something that was very attractive to a good deal of the people here in Colorado. Randy, you know me well enough and long enough that I'm not siding with any religion or anything like that, and I'm not prejudiced in any way, but I don't feel that it was a place for it. Whether it was a Jewish thing or a Christian thing or anything else, I don't feel it was a place for it on the field. And that's really what boosted him here, was that, you know, with all the terrible things happening in the NFL, and he was a good guy, okay? When I'd look at it that way. He was a good guy that came in. Here again, you've got this incident yesterday, but we used to do a piece on our show about how many guys got arrested that week in the NFL, and it was incredible. I mean, there's actually a website online that keeps track of how many NFL players are getting arrested and suspended, et cetera. He came in at a good time and where they needed to see somebody, a positive light in the NFL. Not somebody getting a DUI, getting a shot, killing people, whatever it may be. He kind of just came in, you know, at that point, and that was a good thing all around. It was very attractive. He was a goody-goody guy. I think that's what he was running on the wheels he was running while he was out here. Again, as you saw, he only really had the opportunity he did have opportunity before. He didn't play that great in the beginning. The big talk out here was that he wasn't prepared for the NFL. And I kind of agree with that. What's your thought?
I think that Tebow has been one of those guys, like you just said, he was a good guy in the NFL. And I think he's exactly what the NFL wants. And sometimes as a media source like ESPN and an organization like the NFL, they're going to shove what they want down our throats. That's pretty much how things work.
Big marketing appeal. And I think, even when going to the Jets, I don't think the Jets were going to put up with that part of it. Don't you agree?
I agree. I think the Jets needed good PR, which has turned into crazy PR. Gary, we're behind the clock. We have to switch over now. But thank you for giving us a call. Really appreciate it, and thank you for listening and for all your support. I really appreciate it.
Yep. If you give me, you got one more minute to give me something time, Randy, just to plug something.
Real quick. I got 30 seconds.
All right. You got it. Pro Players Association at proplayersassociation.org/jerseys. We're doing a relief effort project called Jerseys for Jersey. Please check it out and get jerseys at half of retail, officially licensed jerseys for all the teams. Money goes to the Salvation Army for relief in New Jersey for Hurricane Sandy.
Thanks, Gary. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks a lot, Gary.
All right, take care. Bye, Jose.
Bye-bye. That was really cool to have Gary call. That was unexpected. I like it.
Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on with Jose and Randy. Who's this?
Dr. Gene calling. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Very big
Doing
Bronco
well.
Fan. Follow Tebow's career, college, and NFL. And I'm just stunned that the Jets didn't give him a chance before he got injured. Again, I watched every game last year with the Broncos. Kyle Orton was garbage. Tebow excited the team, energized the team, made a lot of big plays. Phenomenal game against the Steelers in the playoffs. I'm just not sure why the Jets wouldn't give him a shot. And then the season just imploded. And now where do you go from here?
I think part of the reason why the Jets didn't give him a shot is that the Jets want him other than Woody Johnson, unfortunately. Listen, if you've heard us do this show many a time when we discuss Tebow, I'm his biggest supporter. You know, I feel the guy gets a bad rep and doesn't get, a fair shake. But I also understand that you have to want a player to be on your team. It's clear to me, and I'm sure Randy agrees with this as well, that Tim Tebow was not wanted by Rex Ryan or Tony Serrano. So, this whole fuss that happened in preseason about hiding the Tebow offense, well, you know what? They were hiding it because there was none to be had, basically. Like, it's very easy to hide something when you don't have anything to run. So I agree with you. I've liked Tebow as a player, but this is just a bad idea from the get-go. And when a coach doesn't want you, no matter what, why wouldn't
the offensive coordinator want Tebow if that's the type of offense he was familiar with? Like, he's actually good with the Wildcat. Why wouldn't he want Tebow?
I think they felt it was a gimmick offense. It pretty much had taken, it ran its course. That offense ran its course, and again, Sperano or Rex Ryan didn't want Tebow here. I don't think they wanted it. This was a Woody Johnson thing. They had to sell PSLs, and, it's pretty much what it comes down to. They took this young man and basically just hung him out to dry. Made him a pariah of sorts. So,
I'm a really big Sanchez fan. I actually think he did well his first two seasons. I think they overachieved. But I think he has heart. He played well in the playoffs. I think he's won the most road playoff games of any starting quarterback. Well, he's in the top two.
No, that's Eli Manning. That's all right.
Oh, well, he's top two or three. But
he's
up there. You know what's funny? I think the New York media is funny. Name any team that could lose their top defensive player and their top offensive player and still produce. And I know it's all about winning, but they lost Holmes and they lost Revis. No other team would have a winning record if they lost their top two players on offensive.
Randy,
defense.
What do you feel about that? I know you've been vocal about this.
I've been vocal about this. Like I said before, we stated it. When the Giants won the Super Bowl back in 2008, they lost key players. They lost Jeremy Shockey. They lost some other key guys, and they were still there. I understand Revis and Santonio Holmes. You have to. Rex Ryan. I think part of the problem is Rex Ryan's been going to the media and they're saying how great this team is and how he has faith in the guys that he has on the field. Listen, Holmes is their number one target, as well as Revis is your best defender. But Cromartie and the hype that he gave Kyle Wilson was through the roof, and obviously they're not being able to produce. Now, as far as the Tebow, I had to jump in on the Tebow comment here. I think that Rex Ryan and Mike Tannenbaum didn't want him here. I think this was a Woody Johnson move. I think this was to steal a, this we've seen this before. When the Giants won the Super Bowl in 2008, they bought him Brett Favre, and they stole the back page. The Giants win the Super Bowl again this past year, and they bring in Tim Tebow, again, stole the back page. It doesn't translate to wins. It starts from the top of the organization. People always kill me when I make this comment about the Yankees. The Yankees, from the top guy in the organization all the way down to the guy on the bottom of the barrel, it's about winning in that organization. You want to win. So that's what it is from top to bottom. The Mets are not that way. The Mets have a situation where it's a disaster from the top all the way down, and it reflects to the product on the field. The Giants are a class organization from the top all the way down to the bottom, and it's about winning a Super Bowl championship. The Jets, it's a disaster from the top all the way down. So that's really what I see, and Tebow was never a good fit for this team. We all knew that. I thought, you know, and from when I heard Tebow wanted to come to the Jets instead of going to Jacksonville, I shook my head because he was a backup to Mark Sanchez here, where he could have been a starting quarterback down in Jacksonville and have Maurice Jones-Drew be beloved by the Florida community down there. I didn't understand the move to start. I understand it less now, and I'm looking forward to this season ending for the Jets because it's been a circus since day one.
Do you think Tebow's going to get any burn this season? If he gets healthy?
If he gets healthy, oh. I think if he plays the last couple games of the year and they win, I think it's going to be a nightmare for the Jets brass. I think it'll be an absolute disaster if Tebow goes in there, plays quarterback. I think at this point Rex Ryan now is just doing it out of spite to Woody Johnson by not playing him. He's doing it despite those Tebow supporters because he's tired of all the questions. I think that's honestly how I feel. Rex Ryan is in a no-win situation. I think he deserves to lose his job for all the talking that he's done. I think it's been an absolute disaster for him. I do, as a bold statement.
He deserves to lose his job?
He deserves to lose his job.
I'm afraid that, you know what, the league has just turned into a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately type of league, where I think the organizations who, for example, you talked about the Giants. They kept Coughlin during the tough times. The Steelers kept Cowher during the tough times. If you have that stability, if you hired a good coach and you come across a misfortune, I think you have to give the coach an opportunity to turn it around. So they made it to the Final Four the first 2 years. They overachieved both of those years. They won a host of road games. They weren't supposed to be in the Final Four those 2 years. A lot of that has to do with swag and the coaching. And the attitude. The Jets were irrelevant. You talked about being on the back page. I'm from Jersey, from Newark. The Jets were irrelevant my entire childhood. You know, Herm Edwards brought a little bit of spark to it, but Rex Ryan changed the entire culture of the Jets organization. I think you have to give him another shot.
Let's be fair, though, and we're going to have to let you go after this one. I mean, we do appreciate the call, but let's be fair. Rex Ryan won with Eric Mangini's players. Since he's gotten the roster to be more his guys, is taking a downfall.
I never understood that. So Gruden won. John Gruden won with Tony Dungy's players in Tampa Bay, but he still won.
Yeah, they did. And listen, honestly, yeah, you're right. They did win the game, and maybe he was the final piece. Or he had the final push, but look at what Rex Ryan has done since he's basically cleaned the roster of Eric Mangini's guys. They went to two AFC title games, basically with Eric Mangini's roster, who they basically got rid of only because they blew one season with Brett Favre. And then, you know, they went to those two title games using his players as he was systematically cleaning the roster and bringing in his guys. Then you've seen the downward spiral, so to speak. So,
I mean, my last comment is just give him one more shot. At least one more.
I have no problem with that. You know, I have no problem with that. Randy's more very militant about this. I feel what you're saying. When you lose those guys, I feel you should get the benefit of the doubt. But I also see what Randy's saying too, with all the talking he's done and just the downward spiral. You know, I could see both sides of the story. I really can. But you know, we do appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. But
how
know,
do
Randy, I see both sides of that. But
how
take
do
care,
I
man. Randy, I just see both sides of that.
What's the website to tune in so I can spread the word? You guys are doing a good job.
We're on. You can follow us on Facebook Facebook.com/RealSportsTalkRadio, and we're located through backsportspage.com and Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Sound good, fellas. Thank you.
Take care, man.
All right. Bye. Peace.
Oh, man. We got this. Talk about Tebow. All of a sudden, everyone starts calling, man. I like it.
I think what I'm going to do from now on, I'm just going to tag the word Tebow on everything we do that spreads the word, and we're going to have 150,000 callers. With that being said,
you know what?
I want to react
on a lot of this stuff. You know, he was very spot on about a lot of stuff he was saying, Gene. So I give him credit. You know, usually people call and you're like, oh my God, what are they talking about? But he was spot on. He had a feel for what was going on.
I commend Danny for one of the things he said. And then there's one thing that you and I could certainly have an argument about if you feel this is an argument. And I know we're sort of getting off topic from where we were supposed to be. I personally like when people, you know, we can get into this with the callers. But, yes, I do think that Rex Ryan won with Eric Mangini's players. And I do believe that Mangini got let go prematurely. I do think that, you know, we need to clarify a couple different things as far as, you know, where the Jets are going. Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on with Jose and Randy. Who's this? Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on with Randy and Jose. Who's this? Okay, guess they're not there. Just to clarify though, Jose, and I mean this with all the love in the world to the New York Jets organization. This now falls on Rex Ryan. So this is, they always say that after the first 2 years of coaching, you're working with somebody else's players. From year three on, it's your team. He got rid of Damian Woody. He bought in guys like Plaxico Burress. He bought in guys like Santonio Holmes. He bought in guys that have had personal issues and problems. He had good guys in the league, guys who are known to be class acts in the leagues like LaDainian Thompson, walk out and destroy how the team was. So you're telling me that we should be giving this guy another chance after the first two seasons, which weren't his guys, he was successful with, but then we're supposed to give him a break when the guys that he wanted to bring in, it was his vision on how the team was supposed to be, and now all of a sudden we're supposed to be, okay, we're going to give you another shot, even though it doesn't look like it's going to get better on the horizon, because these are not the guys, you know, these are not guys that have track record of being good guys, A, and B, being able to fit in and work with them.
Hey, listen, I totally understand what you're saying. I agree with everything you're saying for the most part. I do feel, though, when injuries do sabotage your season, and again, let's also give him the benefit of the doubt. He did not want Tebow. So we might need to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. He had to deal with a lot of stuff he probably did not expect to deal with. You're right, though. If push came to shove, I probably would fire him myself right now. But I would have to strongly look at the whole season and see whether or not it would be worth giving him one more chance. I mean, I don't know how much more years he has on his contract, because that's the other thing that's got to come into play. Do you want to pay this guy if he still has a few years left for basically doing nothing? I mean,
no.
So that has to come into play as well.
Absolutely.
That's something that does need to come into play.
I don't want to pay you. What makes you think I want to pay them?
Like, exactly. That's why I miss so many shows. That being said, Randy, I think we need to transition to our next topic. You know, all the Tebow and the football talk today has got people all jittery, but we should roll into our next topic.
Okay, and this is a topic that I feel very strongly on, and I'm actually looking through Twitter. I looked under my interactions with Twitter with about the Greg Popovich, Miami Heat, David Stern comment, and you know, the controversy there on whether or not, you know, whether or not Popovich was right or wrong for resting his players. And when this all went down on Thursday, I tweeted, I made a comment, I agree with the Spurs on this, it's okay to rest their guys. The NBA official Twitter account retweeted my comment.
Did they really?
They did.
Oh, wow.
Who's got the stroke around here? This guy, right here, okay? With
it's a Twittering machine, my friend. I refuse to become a toy for the masses, but you go. I like it.
Okay, here's the exact tweet that I tweeted out. At NBA on TNT, and the NBA retweeted this. I agree with the Spurs on this. It's okay to rest your stars. Not about the first 20 games. It's about a championship.
That's fair enough.
Okay.
I'm going to say this, and we're going to both agree on this, but we're going to take different roads to this. First of all, there's precedent for this. Greg Popovich has been doing this for a while. I believe he did this a few times last year, and hasn't he done this before in the past?
Yes.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but hasn't he done this already beyond last season? Do we have any, like, numbers on that, Randy?
I don't have the exact numbers on how many times he's done this, but he did this quite often last year. I can think of there was a game against the Portland Trail Blazers that he rested Duncan, Parker, Ginobili. He rested everybody, and the Spurs still won. And it was against Portland.
This is my main issue with this. There was even a quote directed to Deputy Commissioner Silver that basically said that the league was okay with him doing this last year, that they had no issue, that there was no real guidelines for the situation. So what I don't understand is, when did it all of a sudden you have to notify the media, and realize I said that first, the team you're playing and the NBA that you're resting guys? When did this become something? Just because David Stern wanted it? I know he's the Fuhrer of the NBA, and whatever he says must go because he's such a douche. But I'm going to tell you right now, too. I will say this. I have no love for Popovich either. He rubs me the wrong way. But I have no issue with what he did here. He's done it before. He didn't get in trouble for it last year. Why is he going to get in trouble for it this year? Because the game was on TNT?
Are you done? Can I roll?
I'm done. I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent there.
Okay. I am going to play both roles here. I know you hate when I do this. I'm going to give you both sides of the story, and then I'm going to give you my opinion. I don't want you to scream. I don't want you to yell. I want you to be a good little boy when I go over this.
You keep talking like that. You're going to find out how a good little boy I am, but go on.
I'm going to be upfront and honest when I say this. Okay, when you look at the NBA side first. The NBA is showcasing the San Antonio Spurs, led by Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, versus LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and the Miami Heat. They're defending NBA champions, their number one draw. Okay? So I'm understanding that aspect of it. People, this is the argument where I don't really care with the NBA, but the NBA had stated that this is a disservice to our fans that people who paid to see the San Antonio Spurs are not getting against the Miami Heat, are not getting their full money's worth because they're not seeing the established stars against the Miami Heat. Okay. Before I start poking holes into this statement, they decided to fine Spurs and Greg Popovich $250,000 for resting their starters, which, again, like you said, those are the facts. Now let's start breaking it down. Okay, this is not the first time Popovich has done this. Keep in mind, I do think David Stern, who made the original comments on how ridiculous this was before the game started, before the game was played, he had no idea that this was going to be a close game, but the Spurs almost won and had an opportunity to tie with a Gary Neal three-pointer towards the end of the game. Now, with that being said, I think because he made such a strong statement before the game, he was forced to do something. And I think if he would have not said anything and made a statement after the game, it would have just been like something like a warning, which wouldn't have made a big deal. I think the reason why it was a big deal, it was because this was a nationally televised game on TNT. If this was a game which was only seen in the local markets, if it was only a game that was only seen on the Miami TV and San Antonio TV, this would not have been a big deal. But because
I agree with you 100% on that.
Okay, because it's a nationally televised game and it's on TNT, I think that they overreacted before the game and then had to react because they overreacted before the game. That's my honest opinion. I think that is the honest truth. Now, looking from Popovich's standpoint, he said he had circled the state where every time they have four games or five nights, he rests guys. I understand what you're trying to do. You want to rest your guys. You want to keep them fresh. You want to. It's a long season. The NBA is a very long 82-game season. You're going to have nights where you have back-to-backs. There's going to be times where you have four games or five nights. Every team goes through it. What I don't agree with Popovich is, I think you could have gotten away with resting one of the guys, one or two of the guys at a time. You don't send four guys home. Keep them on the bench, make them available, or play them 10 minutes. And then give an explanation on why you're playing them 10 minutes. I may not, you know, it may not be the most popular answers, but I think you're doing the right thing by your audience by doing it that way. I do think, you know, you have to, you have people who are paying to see a game. Again, Miami fans don't really have much of a leg to stand on with me because you have Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. So you
and that's what I was going to say. When you're done, I want to get more into that, but go on.
And I think that, you know, people are not really getting that aspect of it. You know, I think that Popovich should have rested the guys separately. I think that's the best way of saying it. I think there's no other way you could say it. I think that there's a way you can do both, make the fans happy. Again, Miami has their stars. I can't tell you that there's a lot of San Antonio Spurs fans out in Miami. But if that's the argument that they're going with, if that's what they really want to hire a harp on, then I think then that's fine. By the way, Robin Lundberg, just to go back to Tebow for 30 seconds, Robin Lundberg just tweeted from 98.7 ESPN New York, who, you know, we're in that market, so we know who Robin Lundberg is. He's a very good radio personality. He just tweeted, Tim Tebow is inactive for the Jets today. Their punter is in real trouble. Robin Lundberg is one of that deserves a retweet from me. I'm just saying. But that's like general going back to Pop. You know, that's really how I really do feel about it. I really feel that there's a better way of doing this. I think there's no such things as a right side and a wrong side in every situation. This is just both sides wrong. I think, I don't know if you agree with me on that, but you know, let's get your reaction. I don't think there's really a right party on this. I think Popovich could have handled it better, and I think the NBA is overreacting.
Well, like I said, I have no love for Popovich either because he rubs me the wrong way. I would say this about the NBA, that they would have more to stand on. If the NBA was really that upset about this, why don't they, either one, make sure that teams cannot charge tier pricing for certain games? That'd be the first thing I'd get rid of if you were really that adamant about this. And two, and I think this is the more substantial issue, if you're really that upset about what happened, refund the fans in Miami. That would say more, and then that would make me say, you know what, okay, maybe they are right about this. Maybe they have a right to voice their opinion on this. Because if you're not going to refund the fans, then really, what are you saying? You know, that the fans got screwed? Let's be honest also. The game was in Miami. It was a more than competitive game because San Antonio was winning the game for like 90% of the game. And they had a chance to tie the game. This actually goes to show you that San Antonio has a really good team. If they could put their bench guys out there to start against the world champion and basically go toe for toe with them in 12 rounds, basically. So that's where I find that the NBA is completely off on this. Because then what happens if they win the game? You're yelling at them,
exactly.
But they won the game. But,
really,
you know, they came to this, they lost a tough game. It's not like they got blown out by 50 like Charlotte did against the Oklahoma a couple of days earlier. I mean, why don't we have the fans get their refund on that game then?
Well, let's really quickly go to reaction, some more reaction over this whole thing and go through the NBA news and notes because we're against the clock. Obviously, Greg Popovich was disappointed. If you really want to see his reaction, you can go to ESPN.com or any of these other news sites. They have reaction to Popovich being, you know, team getting fined $250,000. But Mark Cuban is fired back. And Mark Cuban is on the side of the league. And if you like, I will be glad to read you the comments from Mark Cuban. And I don't know if I really agree with Cuban. He's the last one who should be saying anything about anybody for anything. These quotes are courtesy of ESPN Dallas. He said, look, I respect the Spurs. Pop is the best coach in the league. I understand why he did it. I might even take the fine if it was us. But I understand why the league fined the Spurs. It might have been, it may be, should have been higher because the amount at stake is enormous. I don't agree with that.
Do you think people are really that concerned over the Spurs? I mean, we've said for years that this is one of the most boring teams in the league. Do you think people really care that much that they missed out on Tim Duncan and Tony Parker?
You even heard it last year, but you remember a couple of years ago when the Pistons were playing the Spurs in the finals, people were just dreading those finals, which by the way, ended up being some of the most entertaining and best basketball that the league had seen in years. But Cuban also called the national television contracts the money train for the NBA, pointing out that those contracts are the difference in the league being profitable or not by a long shot. Cuban also stated, we're still a business whose fine totals for his 13 ownership tenure are well into seven figures. Resting the stars for the long haul, one game earlier, one game later. Sure, resting when you've got our biggest customer at stake, that's the whole different animal. And I hate to say it, I agree. And I'm not saying the Mavs would have done the same thing, but I realized that it'd be a finable offense, and if it was me, I'd probably be 10 times as much. That's another topic. If it was Cuban, it would be 10 times more of a fine. Because here's a guy who gets fined more than anybody in the world. Really quick, hopping on the floor for last night's action, those same Spurs, big three, came back, and they knocked off the number one seed in Memphis Grizzlies in overtime. I'm not sure if I'm buying into the Grizzlies yet. It's like sort of like the Knicks' fast start, and now the teams are starting to even out a little bit. Dwight Howard also made the comment that he felt his trade from the Magic could have gone better. All right, are we right now playing the words Captain Obvious?
I am going to call you out on one thing though. I think you have to buy into Memphis. They did well last year, and they're starting up hot again. I mean, you have to buy into them. And you got to stop your hatred of the Knicks. Let it go. They're good. Just accept
it. They're up 21-14 right now. They're up 21-14 in the first quarter, minute 57 left against the Phoenix Suns right now. In the first quarter, by the way. Listen, I'm sort
you
of...
You got to man. You
first
hate.
Month of the first month of the season, you can't... At the end of December now, I can really get a good gauge of who's where.
I'm going to quote you. Let's see how the first 10 games go, and then I'll have a better idea. We went through the first 10 games, and then you're starting up again. Your hate is, you're starting to become a little bit like me, but you're not as good at it. Don't hate.
I learned from the best mediocre guy I know, so. really quick, Dwight Howard feels his trade from the Orlando Magic could have gone better. Okay, he's just sort of getting this now. All right.
You know what? That's him and Tim Tebow have a lot in common in that aspect.
The Miami Heat rallied back to beat the Brooklyn Nets last night. Listen, when you're playing without Brooke Lopez and the Nets are not in the Heat's league. This is what it comes down to. Miami has not played what we call stellar basketball. I still think they didn't add the right pieces to the puzzle to improve themselves. I still feel they need depth in the front court, and their point guard situation is still a little bit shaky. But I do feel that the Atlantic Division is still the best division in basketball. When you have four teams, the Nets, Celtics, Knicks, and the Sixers, all teams are going to be in the playoffs. That's half of the top eight in the East.
That net game last night, and not to interrupt it, but can I be honest for a second?
Sure.
I actually was on Twitter last night for a little bit. I actually thought that the Nets won that game.
And that shows, again, I feel like the Miami Heat this season have been in cruise control. And I look back to the opening game of the season against the Celtics. I felt that the Celtics' mistakes put them down in such a big hole in the fourth quarter. Remember, they were down 17. They came back and almost tied the game and almost forced the game into overtime on opening night. I think that's the MO of the Miami Heat this year. I feel like they're still on that championship hangover, and they haven't played their best basketball yet. But we're wondering, when push comes to shove, a lot of what they do is fast break and three-point shooting, which we both know doesn't hold up in the playoffs. When you have teams that have inside presence, when Amar'e Stoudemire goes back to the Knicks, And like, I bust on the Knicks. They're a good team. They're a very good team. They're playing a lot better than I thought they were going to. And I think Carmelo Anthony is an MVP candidate as long as we see the Carmelo Anthony from the beginning of the year who is making everybody else better and not getting into those couple games where he had this year where everything falls on his shoulders and he's taking bad shots.
By the way, just to a quick update right now, Rasheed Wallace pulled a Rasheed Wallace and got ejected from the game.
Well, it only took him 12 games into a Knicks uniform. you knew it was coming. But I'm thinking that the Miami Heat, either this team's not going to be as good as we all think they're going to be, or they're just sort of in cruise control. You know what I mean?
I will say this though about the Nets. They've been playing outstanding this year. We had one game this year. The Knicks net game, which I guess was a replay of the first game of the season, which had a very intense atmosphere. It was very good. It was very compelling. If Carmelo could have hit some free throws, that game would have been over in regulation. But as it was still a great game. Playoff action abound. I like where the Nets are going, but I get very worried when I see how they've done against Miami. That does bother me a little bit.
Well, they were in both. Well, the first game they were destroyed. The second game they were, this game they were right there. So I'm not going to be concerned yet. Again, understanding that Miami is Miami, and that's just they have the right to sleepwalk at this point as champions. It's bad to say. Real quick, we got to get through these headlines because we have to get to the picks and we have to do. We have a lot of things we still have to get through. Real quick, Richard Hamilton from the Bulls scheduled to undergo MRI. Like, that team hasn't seen enough injuries. Thunder winning their fifth straight last night against the Hornets. The Mavs got 27 from Mayo as they destroy the Pistons. I don't know what to make of the Mavericks yet this year. That might be one of the few teams I'm really confused with. The Clippers defeat the Sacramento Kings. The Kings are not really a non-story. The Bucks, who have been playing very hot and cold basketball this season, beat the Celtics. I know I was so high on the Celtics. I still think there's something missing there. Obviously, Rondo is missing this game too. But there's still something missing with the Celtics, and it's not Ray Allen. I'm trying to figure out what that is.
I don't think they're good. I'm going to tell you, I don't think they're good. I think you've overestimated them, and I think I might have been more on the ball with them. I don't think they're as good as – I think the age has finally caught up to them, and I just don't think they're that good.
Yeah, but didn't they do this last year? I thought they did do this last year, where they started off really, really slow.
It wasn't like this. They were still playing hard. They were still playing good defense. It was close games. They've been kind of beat down. I mean, look, they got beat down by the Nets twice already this year. I am not buying into this team. I can say right now, I don't buy this team. And unless they go on a real stretch where they're beating teams left and right, I'm not going to buy into this team. As I said, I think the Knicks have been underrated. I think the Celtics have been overrated.
Listen, I'm not going to argue with you. I figured out in life there's bigger things to argue with you about right now. The Celtics are just not a good team right now. That's what it comes down to. The Celtics are not playing good basketball. Even Doc Rivers says, we somehow lost our manhood. we're not playing really good basketball. And
is that the old folks' home? That's where the manhood is at right now.
that's the old folks' home. By the way, Mr. Garnett, our friend Jose here has something he'd like to share with you. So, you know what it's time for, Jose?
What time is it, boy, man?
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me.
That's what time it is.
Wow.
Actually,
every now and then,
right,
your genius shudders.
Okay, actually, I wanted to see if you were paying attention. But you hear the music. It is time for
I hear the music.
Six.
I love
it. It's time for the picture. Do you like that one, or do you want this one?
You know, it's getting close to crunch time, so I think we should use that one.
Okay. Five-game lead for me in the pick six. I think we agreed on the Giants-Redskins game. I think that might have been the only game we really agreed on as far as what we're going to be going with this week.
Yeah, because I wasn't going to let you have 2 weeks in a row of your dictatorship taking over the pick, so...
I thought I had very good picks. I think the three games we can, I think we can go back to alternating if you want today. We have the Giants Redskins, the Tampa Bay Denver game, and the Minnesota Green Bay game as the three games we should be our locking games.
Yeah, those three are fine for that.
Okay, because Minnesota is very much alive.
And by the way, I'm sorry, what was the third game?
We have the Giants, Washington, Minnesota, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay and Denver.
Okay.
And I think that everything else is a shootout. Let's start with the three games. Let's go Minnesota, Green Bay. I've been saying all year I don't think the Packers are as good as we think they are. And I'm not buying it. I think Minnesota, you know, they're going with Percy Harvin out. I think they're going through a hard time. But Green Bay's defense is just not that good. That's what it comes down to. I'm going to call a spade here. I don't think they're that good. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I think that their defense is still solid. Green Bay is sort of in a little bit of funk. Aaron Rodgers, you're relying way too much on Aaron Rodgers' arm and not on their running game. They don't have much of a running game. So I'm picking Minnesota for an upset here. Why not take the shot?
Hey, you know what? You're a braver man than I am. I'm picking the Packers because they have Aaron Rodgers. Because I still think that even with a suspect defense, Aaron Rodgers is pissed, and I'm sure his sash is pissed too after last week's performance. So if I don't get five touchdowns on fantasy, I'm going to be really annoyed. So I'm going to take the Packers, and I'm actually going to say Packers by 10.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. Now let's go Tampa Bay Denver. I don't know what else you really can say about Tampa Bay on how well they've been playing this season. They have a good, solid defense. I like their receiving core. Their running game is picking up, and Josh Freeman's playing great. But then you have Denver and you have Peyton Manning. What can you say about the Broncos this year? Peyton Manning's an MVP candidate, and from what he's been able to do this year out there, this is really a pick 'em game, and I'm going to go with the home team on this one. I think Tampa Bay's still a young team, and when you have a guy like Peyton Manning, he just sort of refuses to lose right now. So I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos.
Well, you know what? Since you went upset on the first pick and you showed some onions, I'm going to show some onions on this one. I'm going to take Tampa Bay because I think they're a team on the rise. Denver's on a real, like, good streak for a while now, but I think they're due for a bad game. So why not lose a game to a young upstart team that we didn't expect much to begin with? So I'm going to go Denver. Excuse me, not Denver, Tampa Bay. I'm sorry, Tampa Bay.
Okay, not a bad thing. And then we have the Giants and the Redskins. Listen, the Redskins are still a work in progress. I said six wins this year. They might be a little bit better than that. I think the Giants are the Giants. Trust me, after talking with Chase Blackburn, Calvin Booth, Michael Boley, Chris Canty, Mathias Kiminuka, they know what's at stake here. They know what they've seen from Robert Griffin III, and they're on the road. They usually play a lot better on the road. I say the Giants in a really close game in Washington.
All right, well, I'm going to go against the grain here. And you know I hate picking them. I'm going to go with Washington. My heart wants to pick the Giants, but you do these things with your head. I actually think Washington is going to come out here guns a-blazing. I think it'll be a close game, but I think somehow Washington will find a way. Again, I hope I'm wrong, and we all know I'm picking them almost to, like, hope that the of the gods of football will actually let the Giants win since I picked the Redskins, and well, I'll lose my bet with you. But I'm going to take Washington. I actually do feel good about this one because even though it is a road game, part of me thinks that this is a game for a letdown for the Giants. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I'm going to take the Redskins.
All right. Do you want to go first, pick a game for me, or you want me to go first on you since I got the lead?
I'll go first. I'll give you a real hard one here because I don't know how this one's going to go. I'll give you Cleveland versus Oakland.
Cleveland versus Oakland, both teams struggling. Cleveland's been playing very tough in all their games this year. Oakland is just a team that you just don't know which one you're getting every single week. For the fact that Cleveland seems to be playing hard, and they play hard every single game, I'm going to go Cleveland. I'm going to go Cleveland over Oakland.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to throw one at you. I'm going to go Seattle at Chicago.
Well, if this game was in Seattle, I'd pick Seattle, but since this game's in Chicago, I'm taking Chicago. Chicago is just a better team. I think Seattle's good, but they don't play well on the road, so I'm going to take Chicago.
Okay. Sounds fair, my friend. What do you got for me next?
All right. You know what? I think we should both take this game because there might be something, and I'll choose this for both of us. Carolina versus Kansas City.
I mean, I hate to say, after everything that sort of happened, I was sort of pulled. First, I wanted to stay away from this game because out of respect, I don't think we should be picking winners in the line of a tragedy.
Where do you see this game going? We won't use it as a pick-in, but where do you see this game going then?
I really do think Carolina coming off a victory, when you start going into a situation where you have guys with high emotions and people, this has been a real tough situation for Kansas City. I think the team's going to band together, and I actually do think the team's going to come out with a victory. But again, I don't want to make light of a situation like that, and
fair
I don't
enough.
Want to. You know, does that make sense? I hope I'm not. You know.
I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. That's why I figured if maybe we could both do it. But here, then I'll give you this one then. Indianapolis versus Detroit.
I figured you're going to go that way. The Colts are a very interesting team. I do like them. I think that they're playing very, very, very well right now. Detroit season ended on Thanksgiving. And they've had a week and a half to sort of sit on this. I like the Colts. I think they can beat the... I think they could really could beat Detroit, and that's where I'm going to end up going. I just don't think the Lions are up for this right now. I think the Lions they sort of gave up at this point on their season because they're done. There's no way for them to get in, so they're done.
Are you
going
to Indianapolis?
Yeah, I'm going Indy. For you, my friend, I want to keep things very interesting for you, and I decided that you. Why not go Pittsburgh and Baltimore at you?
You know what? Since Roethlisberger is not starting this game, I can't in good conscience even think of an upset. I'm going to take Baltimore. This game's in Baltimore. I think I would have picked them anyway, but I just can't see a team that lost to Cleveland in such a fashion can be competitive with a Baltimore team who has been a little Jekyll and Hyde this year, but this is a rivalry game, and I'm sure Baltimore would love nothing more than to really stick it to Pittsburgh and possibly even keep him out of the playoffs, which right now is a very, very strong possibility. So I'm going to take Baltimore.
Okay. I don't know. I just don't know what to make of Pittsburgh this year. They're hot. They're not. They're hot. They're not. And then it comes down to Roethlisberger playing. I'm not sure where I'm feeling this. I really am not. It's the honest truth. Okay. What do you got for me? I think it's the last one for you.
Yeah. You know, a lot of crazy games this week. I want to give you the Philadelphia Dallas game, but I don't hate you that much. So, you know what? I'll be nice. I'll give you Arizona New Jersey Jets because I can't even call them New York Jets. So Arizona versus the New Jersey Jets.
After the debacle, which was Thanksgiving for the New York Jets. I think they want to come out with something to prove. Their defense is still not that bad. It wasn't their defense that lost them the game against New England. It was the turnovers by the offense that lost the games for them. Arizona's got no offense, and they have a pretty strong defense. It's been a pretty close game. I think that the Jets will find a way to lose this game. But I think so does Arizona. So this is one of those real pick-em games, and I think I'm just going to end up going, when both teams are sort of equally bad, I end up going with the New York Jets.
You're not going to call for the tie?
You know what? It's every table. If there was a way for both teams to lose, that's how I would predict it. But, but you know, and just in the spirit of mediocrity, the game that you just gave me, I am going to give you Jacksonville at Buffalo.
Wow! I definitely thought you were going to give me the Philadelphia-Dallas game. You know what? I like Buffalo because they're at home. I think they got a better team there. I like C.J. Spiller a lot. You know, he's on my fantasy team, so you know, I keep a close eye on him. I'm hoping that Chandler gives me a good game, too, just for fantasy sakes. I'm going to take Buffalo in that.
Okay, excellent. Real quick, we have still a lot of stuff to do. So those are our picks. I have the Giants, Denver, and Minnesota. You have Green Bay,
Tampa, and Washington.
Washington. Your wild card picks are Buffalo, Chicago,
and Baltimore.
Mine are Indy, the Jets. Ugh, what am I thinking? Too late to change that. And Cleveland. Too late to change that Jets one. Until the game is played, I guess it's fair. So those are the picks. I have a 5-game lead. So you need me to go pretty much one. You need me to go 0-5 this week to tie up. You need me to go 1-5. Oh, 1-5 this week to tie. You need to win out, and I need to go 0-6 for you to take a 1-game lead, and then you can do the math from there.
I'll take it 1 week at a time. I don't need to fall flat on your ass this week. I can take it 1 week at a time.
I don't like any of my picks so far this week. So with that being said, anyway, moving forward, what to watch for this upcoming week? I'm not really interested in the Thursday night game. I'll probably be more interested in the NBA schedule. I also started watching some college basketball. I'm interested to see how the Kentucky Wildcats rebound from their loss yesterday against Baylor. So I'm interested to see how Kentucky. I'm gonna keep an eye on Kentucky and see how they do this week.
Nice. You know what? What I'm keeping an eye on myself personally is I'm keeping the track of all this NHL talk because they've got to get something done soon. We're very close to losing the season. If the NHL doesn't get this figured out, I don't know what to think. The other thing I'm looking forward to this weekend is the announcement of the Heisman winner, which has been a big debate throughout the whole year, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. Randy, do you have any thoughts on that?
No.
Okay, like a true non-college football fan. For those who are listening, I'm going to pick Johnny Manziel. I'm picking him because he broke all of
Johnny
Cam
football,
and Tim's records.
Johnny football.
To me, he's been the best player, and he's had the one great signature moment this year. I can't really think of anyone else who's had a spectacularly good signature moment, but to me, when you beat Alabama in Alabama, that's good enough for me. So I'm going to give it to Johnny Manziel. I think Tao from Notre Dame will be second. It's going to be a weird Heisman because it's either going to be a freshman winning it or a possible true defensive player. Charles Woodson won it a few years back, but he played both. My top two will be Tao, number two, Manziel, number one.
By the way, I just wanted to let you know, the other thing I'm going to keep an eye on Thursday night, NBA on TNT, the Knicks travel to Miami, so I'm definitely going to keep an eye on that game as well. Real quick, we only have about 3 minutes left, so we're obviously not going to do what we learned this week. Real quick sound off for me, just to real quickly go back and comment on the David Stern comments. This could have been, you could almost say this could have been a black eye on David Stern for overreacting. He's a guy, I think one of the few commissioners and guys who run sports leagues who I think likes to have a complete control of everything that's going on. And I think Stern does a very good job of that. I think now he saw that he overreacted and his back was against the corner and he had to make a decision. And I think the decision he made was a wrong one. But we'll know for next time, if you're going to rest your players, don't do it on a TNT night. But make sure if you rest your guys, you don't do them all at one shot. Jose, you're up.
Mine is a very melancholy sound off. I just wanted to send my thoughts and prayers to the Majerus family, whose Rick Majerus passed away last night at the age of 64 over heart complications. Just an outstanding college basketball coach, was an analyst for ESPN for a while, too. It was a crazy day yesterday, and that news kind of took a little hit on the back burner for the most part. So I just wanted to send my deepest condolences to that family. We're losing out on a great man. He was a great college coach. A funny man, if you've ever had a chance to ever give a conversation or tell a story, he will certainly be missed. And I just wanted to send out my condolences to his family.
That is a very good call. All right, Mr. Jose, we're done. We're here, out of here on time. Enjoy your day of football, and hopefully we come back next week and I'm still in the lead. And hopefully not all my picks were an absolute disaster. And, you know, I'd like to thank all of our callers for calling in today. Apparently, we have to mention Tim Tebow every single week to get our quota for calls in. And that's it for me, for Jose Padilla. I'm Randy Zelia, Real Sports Talk Radio. Check out the archives on the Back Sports page, homepage. We are listed there. Jose's ugly picture and my ugly picture are on there. See, I'm just not insulting you. I'm insulting myself, too. And we have a lot of big things coming up the next couple of weeks. Keep your eyes open. This is a one-shot thing of 11:30. We'll be back next week, 6 o'clock, 6 or 7 o'clock, whichever time we're supposed to be in there. We'll be there. All right.
What do you feel like doing, people?
Yeah, you can see I really got everything together today. Anyways, Jose, thank you for being you. Me, I'm sorry that I'm me. I'll talk to you guys later.
Have a good night.